of this year tonight. My mom would always talk about burning bridges when I was a child. I didn't even know what the expression meant yet. She said, you know, you never want to burn any bridges. I was thinking to myself, well, I never intended to burn any bridges. But it's an expression. And Eliana, what it means is to sort of irrevocably ruin relationships. And we'll talk about that tonight. So where we left things off was David had been very influenced by Tziva, a very nefarious character, into believing that Mephibosheth was in rebellion against him. That was the first episode. And then the second episode, we saw that Shimi ben Gera, who was from the house of Shaul, was cursing David in a very significant way. So, you know, he was throwing rocks at David and cursing David. And the clear implication was that, you know, kick somebody while they're down. You know, there is that phenomenon in life. And Shimi ben Gera was accusing David of being involved in the assassination of Avner and Ishbosheth, which is why Avishai, Yoav's brother, reacted the way that he did. And David basically says, this is the least of our problems right now. So we'll pick it up there. This is the end of chapter 16, which we're going to look at tonight. And we're going to focus pretty heavily on the dueling characters of David's mole in Jerusalem, who's Hushai Ha'arki, David's man in Jerusalem, and Achitophel. Now, Achitophel, let's just remind everybody, is the paternal grandfather of... Why has he joined Absalom's rebellion? Who recalls that Achitophel is the paternal grandfather of Bathsheba? Okay, so even though he was David's closest advisor, he feels that David has obviously wronged the family, and that is very much part of the background. Vayavo ha-melech, v'chol ha'am asher ito ayifim, v'yinafesham. So David the king, he's referred to just as the king, the one true melech, and all the nation that is with him came ayifim, they came exhausted. And here, you know, when the Torah uses the term ayif, it means not just physically exhausted, but a kind of a spiritual exhaustion. It's used in the context of the Jewish people when they were leaving Egypt and Amalek attacked them. Ve'ata ayif ve'yageya. So vayavo ha'melech v'cholam asher ito ayifim v'yinafesh sham. Ve'avshalom v'chol ha'am ish Yisrael ba'u Yerushalayim v'achitofel ito. He has achitofel with him. And v'chol ha'am, the am is often taken to refer to the Sanhedrin. So he has made inroads with various power centers, Ish Yisrael, remember his populist pitch, and he has Achitofel as well. Vayi kasher ba Hushai ha'arki re'e David el Avshalom. So Hushai, David's friend, comes to Avshalom. Vayomer Hushai el Avshalom. Yechi ha'melech, long live the king. And Avshalom, as we shall see, is particularly skeptical. His instincts are correct. Vayomer Avshalom el Hushai, zech hastecha et re'echa. Lama lo halacht et re'echa? This is the way you repay your friend. Why are you not with my father? So, for all of the irony of the statement, right, here's a son rebelling against his father, Avshalom is skeptical. What are you doing here? Vayomer Hushai el Avshalom, lo, ki asher bachar Hashem, v'ya'am hazeh v'chol Yisrael lo, heyeh v'ito eishev. So, if you've been chosen by God, and the Am, understood generally to mean the Sanhedrin, the rabbinical establishment, and the Kol Ish Yisrael, the entire Jewish people. So I'm an institutionalist, as they would say today. And you represent the institution of the Melucha. David did, but now you do. Because you have the support of the people, you have the support of God, you have the support of the Am, the Edah, the Sanhedrin. So, I've always been a supporter of the monarchy, and I continue to be a supporter of the monarchy. I haven't changed my position. And then, and this was the insight that we talked about last week, V'hashenit l'mi ani avod. Halo lifnei v'no, kasher avanti lifnei avicha, kein eheya lefanecha. He says, look, I haven't betrayed your father, even if it wasn't about the institution. What am I doing? I'm making sure that my good friend David's legacy is cemented, and you are his yoresh. You are her. You are his loyal and faithful son. You are his rightful inheritor. And as such, right? Kasher avanti lifnei avicha, kein eheya lefanecha, so shall I serve before you. So Hushai is able to very deftly present things as, you know, there's no contradiction here. First of all, I've always supported the institution of the monarchy. And second of all, you know, deep down, this is what your father wants. Now, the Abravanel is a very insightful comment here. So the Abravanel says, yeah, you know, Hushai was able to sell this to Avshalom, because deep down that's what Avshalom wanted. Avshalom didn't really want to harm his father. So Hushai is telling Avshalom exactly what he wants to hear. And he's telling Avshalom, yeah, you may be rebelling against your father, but, you know, people can get past things. You know, we'll be able to move on from that together. David will come around to the idea, okay, so maybe, you know, you truncated his term by, you know, 1 or 2 years, but he was probably coming to the end anyway. And this is just perfect. This is just perfect. And Avshalom welcomes this from Hushai, because this is, remember, where did Avshalom launch the rebellion from? Well, he launched it from Hebron. He was just signaling to the people, I'm just a younger, you know, more engaged version of my father. Everything my father was, I am now. Go with me. And so, remember, Avshalom hasn't crossed his Rubicon yet. He's still, the Abravanel says, and Hushai is playing on this, it's a deep psychological insight on Hushai's part, Avshalom is still hoping that just as David brought him back from exile, remember, he was with his maternal grandfather in Geshur, just as he was brought back to Yerushalayim and he was eventually brought back to the palace, so his father will acquiesce to this as well, right? What's been David's pattern of behavior? He's basically enabled Avshalom to come back to Yerushalayim, etc. So Avshalom has to be holding out hope at this point that just as his father was able to look past, you know, killing his brother and, you know, setting Yoav's field on fire, and okay, so I'll be able to get past the fact that I overthrew him too. And I don't have to choose between my father and the Meluch. So that's exactly what Hushai is able to, is really able to, in a very brilliant way, able to play off of here. He understands Absalom's psychology. Absalom actually, just as David loves Absalom, Absalom actually does love his father. And while he's incredibly ambitious, and while he's incredibly violent and aggressive, right, he would like to be able to ascend to the throne through this coup, but without having to harm his father directly. And Hushai is playing directly into this fantasy, right? This is Absalom's fantasy. I can have the melucha, and I don't even have to be on my father's bad side. Now, here comes the contrast. Okay, so we mentioned Achitofel. Achitofel is David's closest advisor, who's turned on David, because after all, David and Bathsheba, Bathsheba is his granddaughter. So, Vayomer Avshalom al Achitofel, havu lachem etzah ma naseh. So Avshalom calls his first cabinet meeting, and he says to Achitofel, we're going to listen to whatever you say. Now, by the way, skipping down to the last verse that we'll look at today, the end of chapter 16, Achitofel's counsel in those days was considered absolutely unfailing. He was literally golden. He was considered like an oracle. So when you ask Achitofel for advice, what you're basically saying is, tell me what to do. So there are two ways of reading the intervening psukim. The Malbim makes an incredibly strong case that the way to read them is that basically Achitofel says, I will not give you advice until you do the following thing. If you want to know my military stratagem for how you should go about handling David, I demand this of you first. The other way to read it would be to suggest that Achitofel is actually giving him his first piece of advice, but like I say, the Malbim makes a very persuasive case that this is actually like a condition for advice. So, Vayomer Achitofel Avshalom, Bo El Pilag She'avicha, Asher Hiniach Lishmor Habayit, V'shama Kol Yisrael, Ki Niv'ashta Et Avicha, V'chazku Yidei Kol Asher Itach. So Achitofel says, and I'll permit myself the Malbim's interpretation for now, go and have a relationship with your father's pilagshim, not full wives, but the basic halachas that anybody who has an intimate relationship with the king can never marry any other person, can never be with another person. And if you recall, much earlier on in Sefer Shmuel, the crime that Avner was accused of before he came over to David's side by Ishbosheth was having a relationship with Shaul's Pilegesh, Ritzpah Vataya, which was tantamount to basically like a kind of a coup, saying that I'm really the king. So this is an action that's replete with symbolism, that if Avshalom does this, he's burning his bridges. He's basically saying, I am desecrating my father and my father's malucha in the most irreversible way, right? First of all, any son who would do this to his father, number one. Number two, the implications for the monarchy, because only the king is allowed to be with the king's harem. So this is a very good way for, right, Avshalom to say that I am the melech and David is not. And Achitofel is quite explicit about it. He says, you do it publicly. V'shama kol Yisrael ki niv'ashta avicha. And everybody will know that you have denigrated your father. V'chazku yidei kol asher itach. To what end? So that everybody who is with you will be strengthened. We'll come back to what that means in a second. So this is what happens. Vayatu l'Avshalom o'al al-gag, vayavo Avshalom el-pilag she'aviv, le'enei kol Yisrael. And so Avshalom does, again, because atzar Achitofel, asher yo'atz vayamim ahim, kasher yishalish bidvar alokim, is a divine quality, kein kol atzar Achitofel, gam l'David, gam l'Avshalom. So what was Achitofel really talking about? So what Achitofel was talking about was the following. Avshalom, your idea here is not going to work. You think you can have it both ways. You can engage in a coup and dethrone your father and everything's going to be fine. And that's what Hushai had basically told him. Yeah, I was with your father and I'll be with you. Even your father will come around to it. And Achitofel is saying you're misreading your father. He may be older. He may not be exactly what he once was. But he's not going to give up without a fight. Moreover, all of these people who have come out in support of you, every last one of them is thinking in their minds, what happens if David comes back? I can't be on the wrong side of this. So the idea that Avshalom is seeking some rapprochement with his father leaves all those people in the middle. So Achitofel says to Avshalom, right, you owe it to these people who are supporting you to make it clear that you're going all the way with this, that you mean business, that you mean the melucha. If you don't, then nobody's really going to stick with you because they're going to assume that, okay, maybe Absalom's going to back down. Maybe he's going to seek reconciliation with his father. And there's going to be a world of trouble. So what's Achitofel doing essentially, and this is again what the Malbim is saying, is saying, look, I'll give you advice, but I want to make sure that you're really committed to this. And the way that you can demonstrate that commitment is by making it clear, le'enei kol Yisrael, in front of the entire Jewish people, that as far as you are concerned, forgive the strong terminology, that your father is dead to you. And you do that by taking the pilag shim that your father left in the palace. And let's not forget, if your father left him in the palace, it means he doesn't think that you would ever do this. He's trusting you not to, you know, go overboard here. Because otherwise, why in the world would David leave his pilag shim there? To be killed, to be harmed, to be denigrated in other terrible ways. So Achitofel says, you have to make it clear. This is a rebellion. There's no such thing as a rebellion with a lowercase r. A rebellion is a rebellion, or it's not. And this is precisely the dynamic is going to play out between Hushai and between Achitofel. Hushai wants to do everything possible to convince Avshalom that he can have it both ways. He can be the king. David will come around to it. Right? As I was with your father, I'm with you. Achitofel, who's obviously incensed with David because of the Bathsheba incident, right? Achitofel wants to make sure, before he starts giving Avshalom any advice about how to handle this situation, he wants to make sure that his guy is committed. He wants to test the true colors of this young upstart. It may seem bizarre to us. You would think, okay, you know, Avshalom has long since crossed his Rubicon by declaring himself, you know, the king. But not in his mind, and maybe not yet in David's mind. That's the strength of the father-son bond. Remember, David was really conflicted about how to handle this. That's how Avshalom ended up back in Yerushalayim. That's how he ended up back in the palace. There's a very strong bond there. And Achitofel says you're not going to be able to have it both ways. So decide now. Decide now what you want. Do you want to be your father's son, or do you want to be the Melech? But you can't be both. Not if you're rebelling against your father.
Rabbi Friedman?
Yes.
By Achitofel suggesting it, isn't he also kind of taking revenge on what David did with Bathsheba? Like, kind of taking whatever remnant of kind of wife he has there?
Not, I would say I agree with you, except for kind of. 100%. Right? Remember, that's exactly what Natan HaNavi, Ruthie, that's what Natan HaNavi predicted, right? He says, Ata asisa b'seser, you did this privately, and it will happen to you, neged hashamesh. The ra'a mi be'secha will come, and, you know, if you acted wrongly privately, you're going to get it back tenfold, and you're going to get it back in public, which is exactly what happens. No doubt about it. Ava, go ahead.
Why did David leave them all there? Why did he leave the whole harem there? Did you realize they mind danger?
So the Malbim thinks that it was a clear signal, and I have to check again, that maybe the Rabbanel had this idea first, but the Malbim thinks a very clear signal that David did not believe that Avshalom would take such a step. He didn't believe. We said it at the time, it is a bizarre thing. You're leaving these women, Lishmort Abayit, as if they're like some paramilitary force with the United States Marines guarding the embassy over here. It's bizarre. Unless he thought that, you know, Avshalom isn't really going to do that. And I don't think he would have. But Achitofel says it's a time for choosing. And again, it's not just a time for Achitofel to choose, but this is, I remember many, many years ago, I read, obviously in translation, because I don't speak Mandarin, The Art of War by Sun Tzu. So one of the big principles that Sun Tzu develops there is that a general, this may seem counterintuitive, but a general's responsibility is to put his soldiers in a position where retreat is not really an option for them. They could either be killed or win. That's how you have an effective battle. What Achitofel is saying to Avshalom is, if you want these people to fight for you, you have to leave them no choice but to fight for you. You have to make it clear, if you're going to go to war against your father, you have to make it clear that you're at war against your father. Because otherwise everybody else is going to be thinking, 2 weeks from now, David's going to be back in the palace, and there's going to be some negotiated settlement with Avshalom, and where does that leave me? Avshalom will look out for himself, you know, he'll make sure that he's got some nice, you know, whatever, exile, or maybe he'll be the crown prince, but, you know, I'll be seen as a Morid B'Malchus, I'll be seen as a rebel. And that's it for me. So, what he's trying to do is, he's trying to, as Sun Tzu would have said, push people into a zone of no retreat. Burn the bridges behind them. That's the idea. So, from this point on, obviously, the conflict that's been set up is that Hushai and Achitofel are, you know, diametric, you know, they're in opposite corners. Hushai is telling Avshalom, you can have it both ways. Achitofel is telling Avshalom, either you're in rebellion or you're not. And what we'll take a look at next week is exactly this idea, how it plays out in practice. This idea in practice, which is to say that there's going to be a question of a military stratagem, what to do, where to go first, and David is going to consult with two people, Hushai and Achitofel. And it's going to be the same exact debate, but played out, you know, on the field of battle as opposed to, you know, in the palace itself. And it really is, more than anything else, like all advice, it's really a battle for the soul of the person involved. You know, Avshalom really does have to decide, who does he want to be? What does he want to be? And that's exactly the issue here. So, let me just open it up for questions. Any questions? Okay, great. So again, this is our new summer time. A little bit of the early evening, 7:15. Still sunny outside. You can see through Siggy's window over there. I want to wish everybody a wonderful evening. Next week, chapter 17.
Have a good night.